to the Mock Stars Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash.
What up?
What up, dude? I did the voice crack thing again. I'm not going back. If it happens, it's natural. This is a one-take show. There's no cuts. There's no edits. We're just going straight through. Straight through. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper, and Don Cheadle. And there are a lot of ways I can open this show today. There are a lot of ways. And the first thing that I have to say is that I just confirmed our appearance at MagicCon. We'll be there on Sunday.
Your appearance.
My appearance. Yes. My appearance at MagicCon on Sunday. I'm literally flying in. I'm leaving Seattle at 5 a.m. to fly into Las Vegas Sunday morning, spend the whole day at the con, and then at 10 p.m. that night, I will fly out of Las Vegas and back to Seattle. With the new job, everything that I've been doing, that is the only window that I have of opportunity to make MagicCon happen. So I'm excited to do it, and I just confirmed with Wizards of the Coast, the creators or the people who are running Creator Central and stuff like that, and they asked me to write a bio. And so I wrote, I am Menace, Evil Laughter, ha 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 ha. One of two voices of the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Don Cheadle, and then I wrote in parentheses, not affiliated, but we haven't received a cease and desist, and Dr. Pepper, in parentheses, also not affiliated, but we love the stuff, exclamation point.
And famously, the last time we were at MagicCon Vegas, they would not let us give away Dr. Pepper at the table.
Yeah. That was so funny. I was like, we're just giving it away. You know, like it is, it's just what it is. And they're like, nah, you can't do that. And once we got off the table, it was just like, can we give it away now? And they're like, yeah, do whatever you want. Okay, here we go. Do you want a Dr. Pepper? Here, Dr. Pepper for everybody. So I'll have a 12 pack of Dr. Pepper for sure. Maybe 24. But you know, I'll be having Dr. Peppers to hand out. Got to visit my guy Tyler Jacobson, the greatest fantasy artist of all time. Got to visit him. Got to drop off a Dr. P. You know he loves it.
And I think if you're a fan of the show and you're at MagicCon Vegas or any MagicCon, you see Tyler Jacobson, you should give him a can of Dr. Pepper.
You should. I'm telling you, if you want him to see that man smile, give him a Dr. Pepper. He loves the stuff. Dr. Pepper Zero, he drinks that at home, but he drinks regular Dr. Pepper at conventions because he's not, you know, it's a special occasion. It's not at home. You know, all those things. Zero sugar, you're just trying to be healthy. You want to consume Dr. Pepper regularly. Makes sense. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where we have 534 subscribers. Thank you all for your support. You can like, subscribe, ring that bell, do all those things, support the show. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms by leaving us a 5-star review to make us look super duper cool. Nice notification sound there. And you can also support us on Patreon. By becoming an official Pepperhead, your name will turn Dr. Pepper red on the Discord server. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier. $10 a month. Get 2 entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, like Definitely Jeremy, Poolboy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becca. We also have the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier for $5 a month. You get one entry into each of our bi-weekly giveaways, like Maybe Anthony, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbard, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, and Will Rule. Here's the deal. Next week we're doing a big giveaway. Now, this one, you're gonna want to maybe sign up for the Patreon to get a shot at this and get a shout out at during each episode. But we are giving away a borderless foil signed by Tyler Jacobson himself, Orcish Bowmaster. So this is kind of a big deal. This is kind of a big deal. You also get a set of tokens with it. So honestly, it's like $75 in value in one card and a set of the sickest tokens you'll ever see in your life. So sign up for that Patreon. You can find the link in the description below. Join that. Give yourself a chance at winning the sickest two drop with flash and deals damage in the game. You know, it's just the sickest one. There's not a lot of sick ones that do that, but this one's the sickest one. Creates orc armies, all that stuff. All right. On this week's episode, it's turbo time. Or should I say it with like the Arnold accent? Should I try?
The iconic jingle all the way, Turbo Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should.
Yeah. It's turbo time. You know, with the rock'em sock'em, the fists and the voice box and oh, please, Howard, please tell me you didn't forget. Oh, no, never forget. I got to go pick it up. Runs into a mailman. We got Sinbad. Yep. Sinbad
is a clip from the soundboard that I just heard. From Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, that's what his wife sounds like in the movie. Yeah.
Wow. Incredible mm-hmm. stuff.
Anakin Skywalker, also famously present in that movie. Now in prison, also, if you didn't know that.
For what?
Not Hayden Christensen, but the little kid from episode one is also the little kid in Jingle All the Way, set in Minneapolis.
What's his name? What is his name of this child who's in prison?
I'm not going to. Are we Googling it? Am I going to Google it live on the show?
His name is Jake Lloyd, I bet.
Jake Lloyd. I'm not sure if that's correct. But yeah, the kid was in Jingle All the Way. He's the biggest fan of Turbo Man in the world. Yeah, he's in jail now. But do you know who's not in jail? Don Cheadle. We love him. Almost forgot. You can also support us by joining the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, like Ravenlift. That is the $50 a month tier, where you get a free hat every single month. And we have the Got Glarb hats in stock. They're awesome. I already shipped one out. And you also get three entries into each of those bi-weekly giveaways. So for this particular giveaway, this one is friggin' worth it. You get a hat and this chance of getting one or getting an Orcish Bowmaster. We also have the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, which you get to envision yourself in front of a Dyson Bladeless fan at our newly constructed beach. We have a Dr. Pepper fountain.
Hey, is it too late to go back and tell the MagicCon Vegas people that we're also affiliated but not affiliated with the Dyson Bladeless fan?
Yeah. Yes. Not too late. Never too late. So
I mean, they got to know about this aspect of the lore.
Right. Yep. We put a beach scented candle in front of the Dyson Bladeless fan. Light that baby up. And it's we have the white noise machine going. Just sounds like you're at the beach all day in our lounge. Yeah. Yep. LeBron and his fake family come in for brunch every once in a while. Didn't see him last week. It was also a holiday weekend, so I can't really, you know, I don't really blame them for it. They got time off from basketball. You got it, you know. Well, he's had time off from basketball for a minute. Woo, got him.
Take that, LeBron James.
Take that. Yes, sir. Well, this week's episode, we are talking about Turbo Time. It's turbo time. I'm not the pervert. I just want the Turbo Man doll. Anyway, and this past week, I got off work early, and I noticed that CDH 13 was happening in my area. So I drove down to Laughing Dragon MTG in Issaquah, Washington, to see what was going on. And when I got there, it was quite the show. I showed up probably in the middle of the third or so round of Swiss, And I caught wind of the story almost immediately. And that is that, well, the pendulum has decided to swing pretty aggressively in the opposite way. We've been lamenting and dreading mid-range madness for a long time now. And it only took six months, would you say, ish time? A little bit slower than I anticipated, but it took a minute. But now it has firmly become Turbo Summer, or whatever you want to call it, because it was crazy. Everyone was playing Turbo. Anybody who was not playing Turbo was at the bottom of the ladder by the third round. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. I sat down, played some casual games. Well, not like casual. We were playing CDH, but like I got to jam some games with people that were participating in the tournament who weren't part of top 16 when the final round of Swiss happened. So, I just wanted to go through some of these deck lists just to, I don't know, have the discussion of like, is this really what we're going to see all summer? How do you battle like this type of meta that's now being formed? Because when I tell you it is Turbo Summer, it is 7 of the top 8 are Turbo. Like it's no joke. The mid-range strategy is not going to work. And if everyone's playing this much Turbo, like after I played a couple games against Raoul Monsoon Mage, I knew exactly what we were in for. And it's just a lot of solitaire. It's a lot of spell slinging. It's a lot of long turns on when a Turbo player is going off. So in first place, we have Jacob Graham. Congratulations, Jacob. Taking it home. But Jacob was on Krark, Silas, Wren. So a Grixis shell, not using Rog for like the sack outlet and stuff like that, but more or less using Krark for that upside of, you know, like flip a coin, see if you get the copy or bounce it back to your hand. Like the risk is proving to be worth it with Krark. Plus you get additional upside with things like Tavern Scoundrel and Berg.
What is Tavern Scoundrel? I have not heard of that card.
Oh no, the common from Modern Horizons 2. Tavern Scoundrel is a human rogue, a 1/3 that says whenever you win a coin flip, create 2 treasure tokens.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I couldn't help but laugh in the middle of it because of how ridiculously good it is. And then it says you can also pay 1, tap, sacrifice another permanent, and then flip a coin. That's it. There's no upside. You flip a coin. If you win it, you get 2 treasures. Pretty good. And then, yeah, you just get additional upside with, you know, Bergy. Vayrin is here because when you're Krarking like crazy, you know, it's just like, yeah, Vayrin magnifies that like a ton. Archmage Emeritus makes an appearance. That's wild. I haven't seen that in a minute. But yeah, then we have like Marchesa, Dealer of Death. So 3 color Marchesa from Outlaws of Thunder Junction. Whenever you commit a crime, you may pay 1. If you do, look at the top 2 cards of your library, put 1 into your hand and the other into your graveyard. Wow. I can't believe that made the cut. Cool. Yeah, it looks like Magecraft is definitely the focus here. Stormkill Nardist, Archmage Emeritus, Vayrin, Valley Flood Caller coming in, Dragon Rage Channeler. Again, not necessarily Magecraft, but you do get that. You do get that trigger of whenever casting a non-creature spell, surveil 1. So this is Grixis. This is absolutely Grixis Krark, where like Silas Wren is absolutely, again, here for the colors. But the deck list looks great. You know, like some pleasant surprises in the creature slots. But then everything else, as you scroll down and you see the sorceries, oh yeah, that's just some good stuff, baby. And then instants, oh yeah, that's just some good stuff. Plus, we have Surgical Extraction. So, beautiful. Love to see it.
Is Surgical Extraction seeing a rising play elsewise? Or is it just in this set.
I think it's this is the first time I've seen it, like, in a maybe ever, but in a mid-range where you're like battling mid-range, or if you are watching other players, it is an instant for two life that allows you to choose a card in a graveyard, search their other than a basic land card, search its owner's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of cards of the same name, and exile them. So then that player shuffles their library. So yeah, you get to basically just pluck a card out of the graveyard for free. It's good. Like, I think Noxious Revival was another card that in green you were doing that a little bit to, like, hey, you're going to target this, or you're going to cast this from your graveyard or whatever, like, put it back on top of the library, prevent that. But this is just straight up for two life and exile effect. So I think if you're in black and you are not on Noxious Revival, I'm just trying to think, like, yeah, if you're in Grixis, I think this is worth it. This is a I do not lose the game type of spell. And if you use the original artwork, it's way cooler. He's using a different artwork, but the original artwork is one of the best artworks in all of Magic.
The person bowed over and the spine being extracted.
Yes. So it's amazing. Everything else here in the list looks real good. Looks very, very refined. Let's see, artifacts, very refined. Defense Grid coming into play here. Relic of Legends. I knew that card would be good. I knew it. Enchantments, Necropotence, Rhystic Study, Underworld Breach, Mystic Remora. No frills. And then your lands are just 24 lands, rock and roll. Turbo is reigning supreme. In second place, we have Illaasil Khor, which is a spicy brew. I was not ready for this, and I think it even shocked you when I told you it got second.
Yeah, I mean, that's surprising. It's a very, traditionally very fringe card.
Yeah, at uncommon from Dominaria United, Illaasil Khor is whenever another creature enters the battlefield you gain, or under your control, you gain one life. Whenever another creature you control dies, each opponent loses one life. And so, yeah, it's a draining effect in the command zone. It's a 2/2 death touch, and it prioritizes getting to Abdel Adrian or Rata Drobic combos as fast as possible. So the body, the shell of the deck, I mean, I love that Blood Pet is here. It's great for like non-red decks to like get a boost in mana on the following turn. And then, it's funny, I'm just seeing cards that I haven't seen like really ever, but Tireless Tribe, discard a card. So this is a discard outlet in white, one white mana. It's a creature that says discard a card. Tireless Tribe gets +0/+4 until end of turn. So a way to get Abdel Adrian into the graveyard as a reanimation target. And the rumor mill was spinning as soon as I got in there, and it was that by round three, the Illaasil Khor deck had already won on turn one and turn two or something like that. It was like, I heard right away, I was just like, oh my God, that's disgusting. That's like some crazy Christmas land stuff. But they were consistently doing it enough to get to the, to get second place. So pretty beautiful stuff. They also have a primer written. Ho-ho!
Oh!
Yeah, How to Win, the main line. Illaasil Khor, Necromancy in hand, and Abdel Adrian in the graveyard. Once you've assembled it, you're ready to begin. Pay it, cast Illaasil Khor, pay the two in black, cast Necromancy targeting Abdel Adrian, resolve it, and then bounce them. It's infinite life drain, infinite soldiers, infinite life gained. You can also do it with Meat Hook Massacre on the graveyard as redundancy. And then you can also do the Abdel Adrian line with Animate Dead, Dance of the Dead. And then there's also Leon and Relic Warder in here for redundancy outside of Abdel Adrian, because alongside things like Animate Dead and Dance of the Dead with and Necromancy with Leon and Relic Warder, you get the same result. The creature dies infinitely and comes back and keeps bringing the enchantment back, all those good things. So it's, yeah, there's, let's see, there it is, quite the primer. There is quite a bit here to read and go through. The game plan number one is literally written turbo. We know, like, how do we go fast? How do we do this? Like, all of it is described here. You can check it out. I'll make sure that the link to get to all these deck lists will be in the description of the video on YouTube. So make sure you go check this out. The Illaos Ilkhor deck list. Yeah, it looks great. The creature shell is awesome. There's also Overeager Apprentice, which is 2 and a black. Discard a card from your hand, sacrifice Overeager Apprentice, and then you add 3 black mana to your mana pool. So that's a really cool way of sort of setting yourself up for the following turn and just turboing into madness. Yeah, you're just, you get to the discard on top of it is... So it's actually crazy good. It's really good. All right. Yeah, this is cool. This is a really cool list. The rest of it, sorceries, just, you know, really good stuff. Buried Alive is here. Throwing More Things in the Graveyard. Lively Dirge, seen some play from Outlaws of Thunder Junction. An uncommon with Spree that allows you to search your library for any card, put it in your graveyard. And then you can also pay an additional 2 mana and then return up to 2 creature cards with mana value 4 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So Lively Dirge can ultimately win the game with a Leonic Relic Warder if you do it right. So that's pretty cool. Instance, everything looks great. Flare Fortitude, Mausoleum Secrets. Wow. Mausoleum Secrets. Let's go. This is from...
What is that card? I am unfamiliar with that card.
This is a card from... I can't remember if it's Ravnica Allegiance or... It's the one right before Ravnica Allegiance. But it was... it's 1 and a black instant, rare, that has Undergrowth. Do you remember the Undergrowth mechanic?
No. I know it exists.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a mechanic.
It's like a keyword, you know, like...
keyword, okay.
Yeah. It says, search your library for a black card with converted mana cost less than or equal to the number of creature cards in your graveyard. Reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle. So this is... So the Undergrowth mechanic is... it or keyword just cares about the number of creature cards that are in your graveyard at any particular time. So... yeah, this Mausoleum Secrets was like, I remember pulling one of these or when we went to the pre-release for this set, and I was just like, I guess I'm building into Golgari, which was the Golgari was like the Undergrowth. Key, that's what it was for. Like the keyword is built for that, for those colors. So yeah, it's cool to like see it. Everyone has forgotten about this card. Except here, and it proves to put up results. Second place, Mausoleum Secrets. Let's go. Love to see it. All right, and then Abeyance is just 1 and a white instant until end of turn. Target player cannot cast instants, interrupts, sorceries, or abilities requiring an activation cost, and then you draw a card. What? This is a silence for 1 player. And then you draw a card for 1 and a white. I've never seen another card. Crazy. Ah, God, you learn something new every day, don't you? It's a good feeling. You learn something new. Oh, get out of here. Fuck this list. Sorry. Pardon my French. They're playing Smuggler's Share.
Ooh. Ooh, that's a tough one to swallow. That is objectively a bad card, I thought.
I can't do it.
You said that on the podcast.
I was all on board. I was all on board until now. Smuggler's Share. No. No. If you guys are unfamiliar We notoriously hate this card on this show. It's
one of the worst cards in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, it absolutely is. For 2 and a white, you get an enchantment that says at the beginning of each end step, draw a card for each opponent who has drawn 2 or more cards this turn. Then create a treasure token for each opponent who has had 2 or more lands enter the battlefield under their control. And it sounds like, oh, on each end step, I would get these things, or I will get at least one of those things, or I might get something. You don't get anything. It is a ruse. It's a finely laid ruse. Many words that sound very good on a card. This is not good. This is not good. They're playing it. My guess is they didn't see it at all day, and that's why they did so well. They had it in the list, and they were like, this is going to pop off one of these games. Got through 5 rounds of Swiss. You know, I haven't seen Smuggler's Share yet today. You know, I wonder if it'll play up. That's probably why they lost the last game. They got into finals. They opened with Smuggler's Share and a Soul Ring and an opportunity to cast it. And they were like, they did, and they lost. That's,
yeah, someone saw them cast Smuggler's Share. They called a judge, and the player was eliminated from the tournament.
You're playing that card? How did you get here? How did you get in the door? Yeah, land package looks good. Spymaster's Vault from Modern Horizons 2 making an appearance. Target creature, it enters tapped unless you control a swamp, but it says you can pay a black tap. Target creature you control connives X, where X is the number of creatures that died this turn. Holy crap. That's really good in this deck. And then everything else is, yeah, pretty great. Pretty well refined. Hall of Heliod's Generosity is great for, you know, like you get milled or your anime deck gets countered or whatever. This just sets you up for the win at instant speed on the following turn. So really great card. I cannot get over the Smuggler's Share. I'm sorry. Great list. Great performance, Matt. We are moving on. The number 3 deck list. This is the one where we'll probably dive into this in a later episode just to talk about the impact that this deck is going to have on CDH. But this is Rao, Monsoon Mage. And this is Turbo King right now. This is one of the most insane decks I've ever had the honor and privilege. Thank you, Zach, for showing me this to have bared witness to. So Rao, Monsoon Mage is one of those Modern Horizons 3 commanders, Planeswalker commanders, that it's... I think we're all starting to realize how powerful Modern Horizons 3 was. Because it seems like more and more of these cards become relevant as time goes on. But Rao is a 1/3 human wizard for 1 and a red that says instant sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell during your turn, flip a coin. If you lose the flip, Rao deals 1 damage to you. If you win the flip, you may exile Rao. If you do, return him to the battlefield transformed under his owner's control. Now, Rao flips into a planeswalker that is red and blue. So, this is a red and blue deck. Rao enters the battlefield with an additional loyalty counter for each instant or sorcery spell you cast this turn. You can +1, which you'll never do, until your next turn, instant sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. You can -2, which you'll never do. Rao deals 2 damage divided amongst up to 1 or 2 targets. Draw a card if you control blue permanent other than Rao. And then you can -8, which you'll do a lot. Exile the top 8 cards of your library. You may cast instant and sorcery spells from among them without paying their mana costs. That's the one you're going to do. You're going to do that one a lot. Because everything costs 1 less, right? As Rao enters, the perfect number is 6, right? So you cast 6 instants or sorceries, and then you flip, if you're lucky enough, into Rao on the sixth spell, and you get this sort of Mind's Desire effect where you reveal 8 cards and you can cast any instants or sorceries, which basically the whole deck is in. There's 30 sorceries, 31 instants. So it's a lot.
Pretty good odds.
Pretty good odds, indeed. And you're playing 7 creatures, and all of your creatures are designed to generate mana or in generate resources in some sort of way. So you're aiming for 6 instants or sorceries for that turn to be able to flip Ral into the perfect number of 8, and then you ult it, basically sacrificing it to get the Mind's Desire effect, and then your relatively massive pile of rituals here, which is almost all of your sorceries and all of your instants, are designed to just keep generating mana. So on turn one, when I was playing against Zach in this deck, he turn one burned his whole hand to get a Treasonous Ogre out there. Worth it. Total worth. Because cast Ral for 6 life and then just started ripping sorceries off, like cast a Jeskha's Will, and God, if this deck resolves a Jeskha's Will, like, I'm sorry, but game has changed. It might just be game over at that point with the card advantage and mana advantage that you generate. Ral also reducing the cost of things is huge. It's massive. The amount of mana that Ral represents is insane. You're trying to cast 6 instants or sorceries in a single turn to get the flip to happen. So like it represents minimum 6 mana that you're going to use. The creatures, Ragavan, Tavern Scoundrel, since you're also flipping a coin with Ral, so Tavern Scoundrel is great. And then Burgi generates mana, the Sticker Goblin generates mana, Simeon Spirit Guide exiles for mana, Stormkill Nardis generates mana, Treasonous Ogre generates mana. There's a trend here. And then everything else, you have Gamble, Gataxian Probe, because it's free. Rite of Flame, Strike It Rich, Grape Shot, Win Condition, Hidden Strings, Win Condition, Highway Robbery, Quiet Speculation. You search target player's library for up to 3 cards with flashback and put them into the player's graveyard. So Past in Flames is also a win condition in this deck. Once you get going, you get your second turn. Past in Flames, beautiful stuff. Reckless Impulse to exile cards from the top of your library. Keep getting more card advantage. Recoup, which is another flashback spell. Rob the Archives, exile cards. You get the idea here. Witch's Mark is also a win condition, I believe. Can't quite remember what Zach was saying, but he said, yeah, there's a loop with Witch's Mark. And then, Ren's Resolve, bonus round. Now, this is the card I wanted to talk about. Bonus round. This is from Battle.
What is bonus round? Oh, okay.
So it's been out for a minute. And it's finally found a deck that when it resolves, it wins. It's 1/2 red for a sorcery that says, until end of turn, whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery spell, that player copies it and chooses new targets for the copy. So it was insane seeing this happen because bonus round would resolve and everyone's like, cool. And the thing is it copies your instants or sorceries as well. So like as an opponent and you see it and you go, oh, that has upside for me, potentially. It does not. It is because if they cast a spell, they get a copy, right? Like, and so when you see something that's bad and you have interaction, you interact with it after you see it. And so it gets cast, trigger for a copy goes on the stack, and then you go, yep, create the copy. It's fine. I'm going to cast a counter spell. Now I get 2 counter spells. So basically, it's nullified, right? You cast a spell. It's like almost as if nothing happened. So you get 2 counter spells. You counter the copy. You counter the regular, right? the game hasn't really changed all that much. But then they continue casting spells and continue to get copies after that. Like,
it just kind of outruns your resources.
Exactly.
To like deny it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like your ability to interact with it might increase for, it might increase by getting a copy of a counterspell to be able to interact with multiple things, but they're resolving one spell at a time. So they're like, Mind Break Trap is great. Against this deck, Mind Break Trap, awesome. Great. You put it in at the right time, it's gonna stop this deck straight in its tracks. I also learned that a well-timed Endurance will also stop this deck in its tracks. But bonus round, when it resolves, oftentimes spells the end for the game if you're playing against Ral. So it was a really cool interaction to see. And I got to watch Zach play his turn for 30 minutes to figure out, because it is also one of those decks that is non-deterministic. So that super sucks for everybody. But the deck is crazy.
Nadu vibes.
Yes, it is.
If you miss the Nadu era, guess what? It's back.
It is absolutely back. It is, and it's disgusting. So, yeah, instant sorceries. This is a great Gifts Ungiven deck. There were multiple times, or like the two games that I played. I played three games, I think, against this deck. But there are two of the games, bonus round resolved, and Zach also cast Gifts Ungiven in the same turn. So kind of disgusting because it's eight cards and it creates just an unbreakable pile, you know, with flashback and all those things. So, kind of wild. Lava Dart also win condition since it deals one damage to any target. Lightning Bolt, you can loop these things infinitely through scientific formulas that I don't have the time or mind power to explain at the moment. Artifacts are so basic. Vexing Bauble is here to save you. It is the one. It is a defense grid. I'm learning Vexing Bauble is a defense grid plus some. Like, it feels like a lot of the time when opponents tap out, they will hold interaction via, you know, like for me in my decks, I hold like Solitude and Endurance. Vexing Bauble says nuh-uh. It says no, sir. No interaction for you, and that just makes it an excellent Magic card. Enchantments, Mystic Remora, Rhystic Study, Unroll Breach. Again, this deck is primarily focused on instants and sorceries and flipping Ral. The cool thing I will say about Ral is that once you flip it and you get that ult off and you sacrifice it, or even if you miss the flip, right, and you get an extra instant or sorcery to try and trigger it and you flip it, it goes to nine. A lot of times you have a damage dealer. That's what Lava Dart is for as well, is to shoot your own Ral, send it back. And then when it comes back in, all you have to do is cast one instant or sorcery. You only have to succeed on one trigger, because Ral is going to see that it's going to enter with loyalty counters plus the number of spells you've cast, you know, instants or sorceries you cast this turn. So just one coin flip will result in you being able to ult again. So that's where it kind of gets crazy. There were, I think, three ults in a single turn at one point. This deck is insane. It's really fast. It's really hard to interact with. It's because it's all rituals, it's all mana, it's all these things. So nothing necessarily like screams deal with me other than kill Ral. Like that's your ticket. It's like, just kill Ral.
And as a planeswalker, he's hard to target.
Yeah. Once it flips, there's nothing you can do. Like it gets really hard to interact with. This deck's really cool. It's really new. It's also really annoying. It is Nadu. Is it Nadu? They made another one and it was in the same set and we didn't see it because Nadu existed. All right. So that was third place. Fourth place. What? A Kenrith deck. Kenrith made an appearance. And this is the one deck that I determined to not necessarily be turbo. But when you look at the list, it's very much it's very aggressive. Like, there aren't as many like fun control pieces as like Atlas likes to play. It is still very much a fast deck. I just categorized it as being a more mid-range style build, just due to if the deck likes to run through Kenrith. Because if it likes to run through Kenrith, you're trying to set up opportunity to use those activated abilities. And this deck just, yeah, it's gas, 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 gas. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 mana dorks, Burgie. There's a Chatterfang here. Lovely. Elvish Spirit Guide, Simeon Spirit Guide, and Valley Flood Caller, Warren Soul Trader has a few combo lines here. So you are playing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 creatures that represent mana, and 11, 12 creatures that represent mana, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 creatures that don't. Voice of Victory is one of them, so one is a Grand Abolisher effect. Valley Flood Caller is another, so it's Flash Enabling. And then you have Valky, Thassa's Oracle, and Chatterfang. Those are your utility pieces. So a somewhat confusing list right away, but it has proven to be successful. So it's cool to see. Sorcery package is pretty pretty standard for five color build. The most interesting pieces being Mnemonic Betrayal and Calling Ritual. Both are very pretty common. Mnemonic Betrayal probably hasn't seen as much play lately in the mid range hell, but in maybe it sees more play in Turbo, since it just represents more mana as players continue to try to like push for wins. And then instances like the sorceries are just, it's Ad Nauseam and Gifts Ungiven and Intuition. So it's an Underworld Breach. It's an Underworld Breach list that proved to be successful all day, had interaction for days. I mean, the interaction package is Pact Negation, Offer You Can't Refuse, Chain of Vapor, Flusterstorm, Flood Maw, Mental Misstep, Swan Song, Born Upon a Wind. I guess you could, I'm not sure if that's necessarily interaction, but yeah, this looks like this is also Turbo. You know what? Maybe I'm just going to throw it into the Turbo pile. 8 out of 8 decks in the top 8. They were all Turbo. 5th, we have Little Goblin Go Burr with Rograkh, Silas Wren, another Turbo list, seeing a lot of success in the day. 6th place, we have the Angry Ankle Biter, which is Rog and Thrasios. So I'm telling you, it was a lot of Rograkh, just a lot of Rograkh. Kinnan at 7, and at 8, we have Sissei, which is also Turbo list. So this looks like a little bit more Staxy, but it is also playing Deadpool. Deadpool's turning out to be one of those really crazy, awesome CDH cards that actually does a lot. But yeah, this is the whole day. That's all I could hear was, man, there is so much Turbo out here. Like, everybody is just running Turbo. This Sissei list is actually on some stacks. It's not a Planeswalker build, so to speak. It does have the Teferi Time Raveler lines, but mostly some utility pieces here that they're seeing success with. Marvin, let's see, Selvala, Emil, Deadpool, Kunaros. What? Kunaros.
Hound of Atreus?
Yes. Indeed. Creature cards and graveyards can't enter the battlefield. Players can't cast spells from graveyards. It is a 3/3 Vigilance Menace lifelink. I'm sure it's valuable because you can tutor it at instant speed with Sissei onto the battlefield. So pretty cool. And then there's a cool card from, I don't know if this is Tarkir's commander decks, but it's a dog druid named Arbor Adherent for 3 and a green. It's a mana dork that allows you to add X mana of any one color, where X is the greatest toughness amongst other creatures you control. Cool. I think? Question mark? I guess its mana does like go up the more you, the more that Sisse sees more colors on permanence. So there's that. That's pretty cool. All right. Yeah, top eight. It was just great, I think, in general, to get out. I hadn't been to a tournament in a minute, so it was just really great to get out to one and see the community, see how everyone has been navigating through the current meta. And it was surprising, honestly, to see the pendulum swing so hard in the other way. I figured that when I sat down to play some games that I would see some level of success. I did win one game with Helga, so that's great. I cast Ulamog the Defiler, hard cast it on turn 3. So it was,
ooh, yeah. Okay, that's spicy.
Yeah, it was so sick. I had Helga out on Helga and a Bloom Tender out on turn 2, and then it was beautiful. Turn 3, I was just like, oh my god, do I have 10 mana right now? Sure enough, I had Guy's Cradle as well, so it was like, turn 1 cradle or turn 1 land into bird, and then turn 2 I don't know, I had some rocks involved, free mana, Mox Diamond type stuff, and I did Ulamog turn 3. It was sick. It was fun to sit down. I won a game, but it was just after that, every game against Raoul was just to sit and watch and see what happens. Maybe I get another turn, maybe I don't.
How many times did you play against Raoul?
3 times. So I played.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not upset about it. I'm happy to see new decks thrive, and that was like what I really wanted, was to see what new decks can do, so that we can ultimately.
Mm-hmm. How many players were on Raoul at Laughing Dragon?
I think it was 2 or 3. So
okay,
yeah, there might be more in the top 16 that I didn't see, but yeah, it was pretty cool to see. Like, looks like Glarb made top 16.
Speaking of Glarb, just a quick sidetrack. I recently looked at my list, and based on some other lists I've been seeing, threw in Emrakul, the Promised End.
Okay. Emrakul, Promised End. Is that the one from Modern Horizons 3?
That is the one that has reduced casting cost for each type of card in your graveyard, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Its natural CMC is 13.
Yeah, you take control of target player, right?
It seemed like some spicy tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take control of the target player.
Yeah, and then they get an extra turn after that. That's fun. Yeah, because you can just totally boot somebody out of the game by ruining their turn. That's awesome. I can't wait to see it. We in a couple weeks, probably be the episode the same week that MagicCon happens. We are organizing a little bit of a gameplay episode. We're hoping to have that out, take 1 week off of podcasting, and then do a gameplay episode instead. And then I will return with all of my findings from MagicCon, and we'll talk about those on the following week. But yeah, looking forward to doing a Mockstars gameplay session. And maybe we'll see this Glarb. Maybe we'll see this Glarb Promised End line that you, is in your deck now. Any final thoughts on Turbo being the predominant force now in CDH Flash?
No, I mean, we said it was going to go one way or the other, and this is the way that it went.
Yeah, we could have kept walking down the mid-range madness line, and just we could have stayed there, right? But that just isn't the way the world works. The status quo, people often try to go against the flow of things until they find success, and then others will jump along and join in. So yeah, now it's all turbo. It's turbo time. And this is the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic Gathering, Dr. Pepper and Don Cheadle. We'll have to see if we can get Don on the show sometime just to tell
I think
him.
That's the new stretch goal beyond subscribers, beyond revenue from Patreon. That is the stretch goal.
Yeah. Yep. I think if we commit to putting all of our earnings from Patreon towards getting a meeting with Don Cheadle, we'd be better off for it. So make that commitment. We'll see how much it takes. $10,000 to get 1 hour with Don Cheadle. Is that possible?
Seems like a bargain, quite frankly.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, you can support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, you can become an official Pepperhead. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier, where if you haven't heard or you missed the beginning of the episode for whatever reason, next week's giveaway, we're giving away a borderless foil signed by the artist himself, Tyler Jacobson, Orcish Bowmaster. So borderless foil, Orcish Bowmaster, signed by Tyler Jacobson. It's a shadow signature. I don't like to, you know, just get the single layer signature. You gotta get the shadow one. And
Speaking of Tyler Jacobson, if you're a fan of the show, don't forget, if you see him, give him a can of Dr. Pepper.
Give him a can of Dr. P. He will love it. So you can support us on Patreon by becoming a 2-liter supporter at $10 a month. Get 2 free entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. You can also support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier. That is $5 a month. That gets you 1 entry. And you can support us at the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge access tier, which is $50. You get a free hat and you get 3 entries into each of those giveaways. Stick around for a whole year and you get a 1-of-1 bucket hat. We are at month 10 with Reven Lifts. So we are turning the corner. I'm going to have to get that hat ordered ASAP. Dedicated. Dedicated to the cause. I love it. Love to see it. The ROI on these things, by the way, is insane. We only have like a few people sign up for the Patreon. So honestly, it's like you have pretty decent chances of winning one of these giveaways if you sign up. So yeah. This has been the Mock Stars podcast. Any closing thoughts? Have you put any more thought into our dancing frog act, Flash?
No. I do think that it's viable, though.
I do have a final thought as I unspin the lid on my new Slammers case. I have new Mock Stars merch in hand. We have Mock Stars Slammers Pogs, baby. Look at these. Oh yeah, if you're on YouTube, you're looking at them. They're so sexy. They're so great. Made by my buddy Aaron at Studio Nova. We did these babies up and they are awesome. I have a roll of 12. I have 2 rolls of these, actually. I'll have them at MagicCon. And yeah, come by the creator area from 3 p.m. I will be there jamming CDH games. And yeah, just being an overall menace there. They're going to hate me. And I love that. I love that. It's what being a menace is about. All right, those are my final thoughts. We're out of here. Peace.
Bye.